Hello. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining me.
What's that?
I said, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, I'm in the car, so I didn't hear you that great.
Okay. So you've been covering the game for a while, 30-plus years. What first got you started into the love of the game?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not hearing the questions that great.
Okay, so you've been covering the basketball for a while now. What first got you interested in basketball?
Well, you know, I was fortunate enough to kind of cut my teeth in Philly.
Right.
Around the Big Five and the Palestra, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, that's when I was in school.
Right.
And at that time, the Big Five teams, the Philly teams, the local teams were pretty much all playing their games in the one spot.
Right.
And because of that, I was able to see, you know, teams from all over the country coming in to play all of the Big Five schools. And I guess I just got hooked by college basketball at a time in my life when, you know, like a lot of us trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to be when I grow up. And it turned out I wanted to be a sports writer and cover college basketball.
Yeah, my LFNB panel covers a Big Five. I love every game I cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Every game.
And, like, there was just something about it
right.
that made you excited every time you went in the building, right? And
exactly.
You know, certainly different now with the schools all playing on their campuses.
Right.
But even that, you know, I talked to other people around the country, and, you know, like on a Saturday, I could go to a game at Temple and a game at Villanova and finish up at the Palestra that night.
Right.
And it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, I love going to the Palestra. The setting, the history. Once you walk in the building, you just get like an aura come over you. I love covering University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, like here's an example. Back in the fall, a buddy of mine who works at St. Mary's College
right.
in Moraga, California, right?
Right.
Like, which is about as far away from the Big Five as you can get.
True.
He was in town for a non-sports thing.
Right.
And, you know, I said, all right, let's do the cheesesteak thing. Let's go downtown, what have you. And he says to me, you know, he played like Division III college basketball in California. He
right.
says to me, any chance we could get in the Palestra? And this is like some night in September.
Right.
And, you know, I might accidentally on purpose know where the back door is. It's always open.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know, Penn volleyball is down there practicing.
Okay.
But I took them through the concourse and all the exhibits and, you know, it just, it's just cool.
Yes, it really is. I love it. I love it. For the first time since 1939, March Madness has been canceled. When I first heard about it, first NBA went down, then I heard about March Madness. I was like, oh, I know March Madness. The one shining moment, not this year. What was your first reaction when you found out?
I actually think, given where everything was, and maybe this is not the answer that people would expect.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, I was at ESPN. I was in the newsroom. We were trying to keep up with everything. The conference tournaments were in flux.
Yeah.
First with no fans, then they were kind of getting canceled one by one. There was still a Big East game being played.
Yeah, the Big East was
et
playing.
Et cetera. Like, I think at the moment I got the announcement, which was, I don't know, 4:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
I think I was relieved.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's a pretty intense time for me.
Right.
Personally and professionally, and I'm not suggesting that it's important, the work of bracketology in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
But it, like anybody's job, it was at its peak.
Right.
And, you know, we all kind of felt like, what are we doing this for? Right? Like, what's happening? And, you know, like a lot of people, I just wanted to come home to my family.
Right.
And I was like, okay. Like, if you're going to cancel it, don't do it Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
Like if it's obviously going in a certain direction,
right,
then let's just get on with it.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, it's like when you have a cut and you're little and, you know, your mom is playing with the Band-Aid because, you know, you're going, ooh, ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
And then dad comes in, he just rips the damn thing off.
Right.
Like, we needed to rip the Band-Aid off and move on to what's next. And thank God they didn't waver. Because, you know, tomorrow night would be the Sweet 16 at Madison Square Garden.
Wow. Yeah. And
like,
New York is a center. New York is a center. New York is a hotspot right now for the
right, like, think about that. Like,
right.
Now, they couldn't possibly have known that when they made the decision.
True.
But they had enough, you know, expertise guiding them.
Right.
And all the other sports to, like, hey, we got to maybe, you know, not think we're very important in the big picture.
Very true. Because I got credentialed to cover the Big East tournament, and I've got the email from 2 days before I was about to go cover the championship because they canceled it. But I kind of figured it was coming, so I was kind of somewhat like you, like, get it over with.
Right.
So,
you know, and I was at the Atlantic 10 for a day.
Right.
That would have been Wednesday. Because I do the St. Joe's games.
Right.
And, you know, they lost. I'm back in Penn Station. And I'm like, okay, everything's still on. Do I go back to Connecticut to ESPN or do I go home to Philly? Like, you're in Penn Station. You can make a left or you can make a right, you know?
Right. Right.
And you know, all my stuff was in Connecticut.
Okay.
But I'm like, okay. Like, it's in a hotel room. They'll put it in a closet.
Right.
But I went back because we were still on at that point, and there was another night of games and a little more bracketology on Thursday.
Okay.
And then it was like, well, I guess I'm going home.
Yeah.
Because I can do anything that else that's needed from home.
Yeah, very true.
Never thinking that, like, I wouldn't leave home for 2 weeks.
Right.
But here we are.
Yeah, the situation is unprecedented. It's never
no
been like this before. The eligibility of seniors has come up. Some of us get thinking about giving, well, you know better than me, they're thinking about giving seniors, spring seniors, another year of eligibility. Do you think they should extend that to, like, some players who won't get to play in the NCAA tournament since the year wasn't cleanly completed?
Like, my gut is telling me that, like, they should give them an option. Like, like, if you're a senior and you graduate,
Right?
Like, you should, I think a conference, maybe they should be allowed to come back to their school.
Okay.
And start a grad program. Like, don't graduate and add to all this grad transfer silliness.
Right. Understandable.
Because then you're clearly doing it not for a team reason,
but for personal reasons. Yeah.
Right. Like, if that's what you want, if you want to make a basketball decision and go get paid to play basketball, okay, go. Go.
Right.
And more power to you.
Right.
But you know, because I don't think that a large majority of the seniors would necessarily do that.
Okay.
Take advantage of it. Because, like, we only know these people as basketball players.
Right.
Most of them. Like,
right.
maybe some of them are getting married, or maybe some right. of them have a job, or maybe some of them are going to go to work in dad's business, or who knows what.
Yeah, or they're not going to the league.
Right, which is the majority.
Right.
So, like, you know, if maybe have some kind of process in place where if you, like put the student in it, and if you want to be legitimately in a grad program and
right.
we can cover the first year of that, well, have at it. And then maybe make them sign something that they're going to stay for all the years of it.
Right. Good
like, unlike what happens now, you get your grad transfer to a place that has a program that lets you have your eligibility, and then as soon as that year's up or you go to a semester of grad school, you're enrolled for the second semester, so you're eligible, and you
right.
never go to school.
Right.
You know, like make it a non-sham and try that. Now, there may be 100 other logistical or financial or educational reasons to not do it
right.
for the winter sport people, but the ease with which they enacted it for the spring sport people
right.
makes me think that maybe it really isn't that hard to do.
True.
And it's just a Pandora's box that they don't want to open.
Right.
I don't know. That's not my world.
One player on the team wanted to talk about with you was Dayton, because I had the pleasure of covering them when he played St. Jude's, but also covered St. Jude's. And
yeah.
I was able to cover him when he played Dayton. And Obi Toppin, he is unbelievable. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I did that game also, and I thought it was ironic. I thought that was one of their poorer performances of the year.
Right. He was a foul trouble that game, right?
Right. And I think St. Joe's had something to do with that.
Right.
As weak as St. Joe's was, you know, my school loved
yeah.
the Hawks.
Right.
But, I mean, let's be honest, it was a mismatch.
Yeah.
And you know, they made it a game. I think, what was it, a 7-point game at the end?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I believe it was,
like,
yeah.
Like, it was a real game. Like, Dayton
right.
was better. And if that game had gone on for a week, they still would have been ahead by 7.
Right.
Because it was just that kind of game.
I understand.
Right? Like, that's just, you know, certain games have a flow, and that's what it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking back on it, Dayton had been on the road for almost a week. I think they played LaSalle, like, on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
And that
so.
Game at St. Joe's was on Sunday. And I've been with teams on the road.
Right.
And you know, you get flat sitting around a hotel.
Sure.
And I mean, you know, it's human nature. They're, you know, whatever they were at the time, like 15-2, and St. Joe's was a lot of things, but they weren't 15-2.
Right.
And you know, Dayton has to be thinking, let's just get this over with and go home.
Right.
And they played that way. Now. But what I thought was, I thought they were absolutely legitimately a Final Four contender.
Yeah, a lot of them
one
seed.
Right. I didn't know if they would be a one seed.
Right.
But then San Diego State lost a couple times, and that kind of made it easier to slot them. Had they won the Atlantic 10 tournament, frankly, I think even had they made the championship game of the Atlantic 10 tournament, they would have been a one seed.
Right.
And you know, then they would have had to play it out. And it's, you know, among the lists of players and schools to feel sad for.
Right.
They're at the top of the list.
Yeah.
They're not the only ones, but they're on, you know, the teams that are doing things that they don't usually do. Like Rutgers
right.
just making it.
Penn State,
you know, being a good seed with a chance to advance, those kinds of things.
Right.
You know, like I feel for the kids at Duke and Kentucky and Kansas also.
Yeah.
But, you know, like everybody who plays multiple years at a school like that
right.
is going to the Sweet 16 at least once.
Yeah, very true.
You know, and maybe a Final Four. So like, it's a little more of a gut punch for the kind of lightning in a bottle situation.
Yeah. That's why I love NCAA tournament. It's one and done. You never know what you'll get. Like 12 and 5 upsets, and I love watching the NCAA tournament. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like
it. Yeah, and I mean, I think people are watching these replay games.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I haven't really watched, you know, I've had it on in the background.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I saw these games.
Right.
And maybe one or two, you know, might catch my eye, but.
Yeah.
You know, Lord willing, we'll have it back,
yeah.
And we'll all realize how much we missed it. And this time next year, we'll be talking about, you know, like somebody will say, hey, we've had enough upsets this year to make two tournaments.
Right.
Or enough buzzer beaters to be, you know, like that we'd have in 5 years.
Right.
Like, I try to look at it optimistically.
Right. Speaking of the Big East, headlong, Villanova has one of the craziest stadiums I've ever been in, able to walk into. What are your thoughts on the Citizens Arena? It is crazy.
On the Pavilion?
Yeah, Pavilion, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it was a bad building for basketball when it opened. Like, I went to the first game there.
Yeah.
It just wasn't, like, the configuration was odd, the sight lines were odd, the angles were odd.
Right.
You know, like a lot of venues, I you know, they were trying to serve a lot of masters.
Right.
You know, for other sports and other institutional events.
Okay.
And, you know, that all the space behind it and, you know, what they've done since is, I think, to try and make chicken salad, right, out of something that was worse than chicken salad.
Got you.
I'm sure in a perfect world, they would probably like to take that piece of land, start over, and build a basketball arena.
Okay.
And only a basketball arena. But, you know, the powers that be and the politics of where they're located and getting approvals and whatnot.
Right.
I don't know this. I'm assuming that their best path forward was to do what they could within the existing footprint.
Right. Understand.
And, you know, they did that. But I would certainly call the design untraditional.
Yeah, I understand.
Not good, not bad.
Right.
And it works for them. It's clearly not impacting their ability to field a good basketball team.
Right. The selection committee, how much pressure do you think they're under to get it right when making their selections? Because, you know, it's a lot of backlash. So I'm saying, every year there's always someone saying, this team should got in, why did this team get in? This team was on a bubble, this team was on a bubble. How much pressure do you think they're under when selection time comes?
I think they're under tremendous pressure. I mean, I feel pressure, and I don't have a vote.
Right.
And you know, they know full well that there's a whole cluster of people like me out there getting ready to pounce on any mistake.
Yes.
Or, worse, say something was a mistake when it was really just an opinion.
Right.
Right? Like, I could say to you, yo, I think blue is a terrible color. You should pick green. Well, there's no right or wrong there.
Right.
I like green. You like blue. Okay. Right. I like chocolate. You like vanilla. Whatever.
Right.
Like, these teams at the end of the line, for the most part, are all flawed.
Right.
If they weren't flawed, they wouldn't be on the bubble. They'd
be
safely in.
Right, exactly.
So there really isn't a right or a wrong.
Right.
unless there are sometimes clear cases of them applying their own criteria in an inconsistent or incorrect manner.
Okay.
And then, like, that's when I'll criticize. I'll say, it's like, you know, all right, you let two of your kids eat cookies, but the third one you don't.
Okay.
Even though they all did their homework.
Understandable.
Right?
Yeah, I got you.
Like, it's when they do that I pounce.
That's you.
But even then, it's fundamentally an opinion.
Right.
And because I'm pretty public most of the season, and I get a lot of criticism,
right,
I kind of have a weird sympathy for their position.
Yeah.
And, you know, they rotate off every few years. I do it every year.
Yeah.
And now I almost feel like, you know, I know it. Like, I'm not saying this is a compliment, but
right,
there's nobody in the history of the planet Earth who's built more brackets following all the procedures than
right,
I have.
It was
like
2000.
Do it every week. Like, I've done
right,
it every week for 25 years. There's
right,
no member of the committee that's done that.
Right.
Because nobody would be that big of a knucklehead to put this much time into it.
Right. It was,
so, you know, I get it. I get it.
Right. It was 2007 or 8 you got all 64 teams correct that you picked. It was 2007, I believe.
So in 2000 and, all right, in 2008 we were at 65.
Okay, yeah.
So I got them, and then in 2013 was 68, and I've gotten them all at 64, 65, and 68.
You're good.
Once each, I think.
You're good. You're very good.
I think once each. I average missing about 1.5, a little less than 1.5
okay,
a year.
Okay.
I can live with that.
Yeah. You're very good. That's what he called it, a bracketologist.
John, thank you. I got another pop at 11, so.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me.
It was nice to talk to you.
Thank you so much for joining me.
You're very welcome.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.